Welcome to the program, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And we are live the last day here in Barbados, all the way down in the southern part of the Caribbean. And as always, even when I'm on the road, the show comes with me. And so yes, 11 hours ahead. It is Black Friday back home. I don't know if you went out and braved the lines. I didn't get to see any of it this year because I've been out of town. No such thing as Black Friday here. There's no Thanksgiving here at all. It's an American holiday that's observed, I think, only at the hotels, really, because a lot of Americans come out when they've got the week off. So yes, had turkey last night. I told you about that yesterday. And today is just like any other day. But back home, people getting clobbered, people getting stabbed, getting hurt, just crazy stuff going around. And I never understood this phenomenon. No, I don't get it. It's nice to have a sale, but I'm big into online. I think, I would go to the mall. I live by South Coast Plaza. Costa Mesa, Orange County, deep in Republican country. And I remember I drive by and there's a Best Buy and I think some other store that's across the street, and people would be in tents in Costa Mesa. And who waits in line in a tent? I don't get it. So, but apparently it's all part of a certain rush that you get a great deal. And certain people love it, and it's a passion. So God bless you. Enjoy, and I hope you had a great day and got all the bargains you wanted and didn't get trampled or clobbered. And if you had to go to a Walmart, I hope you have stories for the rest of your life. I'm picturing a scene. If you missed yesterday's show, I was telling you about the monkey that attacked the lady at the hotel who was holding the little bird. Get the podcast at samnation.com for the story. But that's what I'm picturing a stampede at Walmart on Black Friday being like. Just, wildlife and crazy people. Because people do get trampled. People did yesterday, earlier today, got trampled. Crazy stuff. Now, another bit of news came out yesterday that we didn't get to, and I want to address it today because yet another story popped up on it today, and that is this fake news thing. Have you heard about it? There's this concern that the Russians have manipulated our election. Now you've heard this theme throughout. Some people have said that the Russians have hacked into our voting machines. Some people have said that the Russians have deliberately, hacked into emails, have blamed the hack that was, all the emails that were released from the DNC through WikiLeaks. You'll remember during the course of the campaign, people in Hillary's campaign, even Hillary herself in the debates, tried to blame the Russians and told Trump in the debate that he was more or less actively conspiring with Moscow to target the Democratic National Committee and Hillary Clinton's campaign. So this narrative now continues after the election, but it's getting alarming, and I'm going to explain to you why. So first of all, let's start with this premise. No one likes losing. I've been a student of politics my whole life. I understand how this works, and anyone who's lost so much as, a class president election in high school will tell you that losing stinks. Now, you add to it here, there's this strange thing going on in the world where people seem to, and it started with Brexit, we've talked about it here, and now has moved on to our election in the U.S., there's a certain uprising where people have had enough about being told what to do, what to think, that government knows best, and that they need to just step aside and let the experts handle it. And the phenomenon, I've always called it a town versus country. where the people in the cities, the elites, the establishment political figures, be they on the right or on the left, that they are essentially, you know, they like being in charge, and they're used to it, and they've been in charge for years. And now there's a movement afoot to get rid of it. Started with Brexit in England, and now this tremendous upset, as considered by some, of Trump getting elected in the United States. So along comes the Washington Post. Now remember, I told you that the libs are going to try to figure out they're lost. And they're thrashing about. They're sort of like an injured animal that is thrashing about and trying to get its bearings. And they want to make sense of this cataclysmic event, namely Trump being elected president of the United States. And so here, the guy Craig Timberg of the Washington Post puts up late yesterday puts up an article. Russian propaganda effort helped spread fake news during election, experts say. So I, you know, this caught my eye, and I started to get into it a little bit last night, but didn't have enough yet to talk about it during the program. So I wanted to get into it today because I wondered what's fake news. I mean, explain it to me, because to me, fake news is The Onion. You know, I mean, that is fake news. and that's good fake news. But apparently there's something called bad fake news. And so now I want to know who's come up with this term, you know, and how is this term being used? How is it being defined? Because, of course, you read fake news and your first reaction is fake news is bad. We don't want fake news. We only want to hear the truth. We want to hear what's real. We want real news, not fake news. Nobody wants anything that's fake. Unless they go to the plastic surgeon, of which at my hotel here in the Barbados, I will tell you, there is an incredible assortment of, yes, of that type of stuff. But fake news is, according at least to Mr. Timberg in the Washington Post, I'll give you some examples. Let's start there. Because he doesn't really define it. He assumes in this article, right, and this has been generally the consensus that I'm seeing online, is that there's no real definition of it, except that, well, he gives some examples from during the campaign. Misleading stories. For example, and he writes, supposedly about Clinton's troubled health. So, now, there was this piece about how Hillary Clinton, right, remember the video? Remember seeing her September 11th? You know, she goes to the September 11th memorial, and on her way out of the memorial, she can hardly stand up. She leans up against a pole or some kind of bollard, and her Scooby van, remember, her Scooby van pulls up, and as she's getting into the van, she stumbles and falls. She ends up in the gutter, and we ended up calling her Wobbles here for weeks, probably still do here and there. And you saw the video. I saw the video. And here's what the author writes here in Washington. Well, here's what the Washington Post writes about it. So the speed and coordination of these efforts allowed Russian-backed phony news to outcompete traditional news organizations for audience. For example, some of the first and most alarming tweets after Clinton fell at a September 11th memorial, the one we just talked about, came from Russian botnets and trolls. And here's the best part, right? They put in a little parentheses. She was later treated for pneumonia and returned to the campaign trail a few days later. Right. I mean, you'll remember, by the way, you saw the video. And I don't know what conclusions now. Our own Dr. Drew had his concerns about it here at KBC. And you'll remember he's one of the first people, well, a very credible person who came out and said, look, what I'm seeing here is something that's a lot more alarming than just pneumonia. I mean, there's more to it than that. And then you had experts on both sides that were debating it. But this isn't something that's completely manufactured out of thin air. No. I mean, it's not something, it's not a news story that just somehow was created or was complete fiction. It was based on an actual real event. So, how about this? The propaganda machinery, the Washington Post continues, also helped push the phony story that an anti-Trump protester, remember this? Anti-Trump protester was paid thousands of dollars to participate in demonstrations. But the only problem with that is you remember where that story came from? Remember Project Veritas? Yeah, we had undercover video of high-level Democratic operatives, known these guys are longtime players in the Democratic Party, being recorded doing a deal and explaining to the guy doing the sting operation, the reporter, the investigative journalist, explaining how they were planning on, how they were disrupting, effectively disrupting Trump rallies by picking fights with Trump supporters, getting it on camera, and spreading a false narrative. Talk about fake news, spreading a false narrative that Trump supporters were all just a bunch of unruly hooligans who wanted to, you know, the minute any Hillary Clinton supporter showed up, they wanted to beat the crap out of him. And that, again, is on camera. You saw it, I saw it, and we could draw our own conclusions about it. And it certainly isn't fake news. It's real news. And so when you read through, you know, when you read through this, I started realizing, so what is fake news? Well, fake news, it turns out, at least as best as I can tell, is news that the mainstream media doesn't want to report on, doesn't think is newsworthy, doesn't want us to see, but it's being covered on non-traditional media. It's being covered online. And let's talk about these bots for a minute, because one of the things, I mean, the bots are online. If you spend any time online, you realize bots are a way of life. And it's not, I'm not just talking about, I mean, one type of bot is the one that sends you horrible spam email. You're familiar with that, I'm sure. But you have bots. I mean, people use bots in social media. Social media companies, for example, will have programs that will send out tweets automatically, and these bots there's algorithms inside the bot that allow the bot to act almost as if that were a person online. And the idea behind it, there are commercially valid reasons to use it. Sites will want to promote themselves, and this is what, by the way, this is what's going on. What you have, you've got a lot of, forget Drudge. Drudge was the first one of the party. So you've got the Drudge Report, and it's a very popular news aggregator website. So other people, you got to understand this, other people see what Drudge has done, see that he has posted links to stories that are perhaps being ignored elsewhere. And they go, I want to be Drudge. I want to be the next Drudge. I want to be famous. I want to be successful. There's big money in it, obviously. And so what they do is, well, they can't possibly, in order to promote their particular website or their particular news aggregation service, they will use bots. They will either program their computer or program a series of computers or use another company to do it that will help spread the news of their and tweet out different links from their site. And this is how the internet works. It's not, by the way, it's not unique to Russia. Russia did not invent the bots. You read these stories about fake news and Russia, and it makes it sound like Russia's, you know, ground zero for this type of activity, and they're not. But what you have is you certainly do have bots out there, and you can't throw out say that real news stories that ultimately got traction, like Hillary Clinton falling, and like the Trump protesters that were being paid money to disrupt rallies, that they only got traction because they were being promoted by bots, whether those bots were from Russia or somewhere else. I'll submit to you the reason that, think about the top five or six stories that got traction during the election, good or bad for either candidate. I think, for example, Hillary Clinton falling was one of the biggest ones for her. And what the biggest one for Trump was that Access Hollywood tape, which no one's blaming the Russians. And do you know why those two were the biggest trends? Because That's right. There was a video. The minute you have a video that you can show on TV and it's quick, you know, we live in a TMZ world where it's all about a soundbite. And if you can take something and reduce it to a short video, short soundbite, and it's a primary source where it's the candidate himself or the candidate herself doing something stupid or something alarming, that's going to get traction. And you could put a million bots behind it. You could put Russia, China, or whatever country behind it. It's going to get traction no matter what. So let's talk a little bit more about this and why there's some very dangerous consequences to this type of concern over this fake news. And it's something that we really ought to be wary of if we want to maintain our democracy. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
And welcome back, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. And talking about fake news and what this means. If you haven't heard the term, we're getting into it. We're trying to, you know, get some of these layers off of it because, you know, so the Washington Post did a big story, dropped it right late yesterday about how fake news may have basically won the election for Donald Trump. And they are, well, what they're saying is, and this is how they begin it. They talk about all the different bots, okay? And they're blaming Russia, right? They're saying it's a Russian propaganda effort because there's thousands of botnets and teams of paid human trolls. Now, a troll, by the way, not under a bridge, but just somebody who, you know, who sits alone at his computer and furiously types away at messages, different people all over the place, okay? And also blamed a network of websites and social media accounts that took different things that were coming out from in conservative, you know, right-wing websites and then amplifying them, sending them all over the internet. Okay. Now, one thing I got to tell you, and I was just right before the break, I was explaining a little bit how these bots are used in commercially, and I would actually say maybe legitimately. For example, I mean, social media accounts, a lot of companies will hire, they won't have people in-house to do it, but they'll basically pay a website to promote their account. And what that website will do is they'll take the credentials to the account. So for example, let's say it's a Twitter account and they'll take the credentials. You'll send them your credentials, which takes I would assume a bit of trust. But you log in, and I've had this explained to me. You log into a website, and you put in your credentials, and then that website, that is, by the way, usually where all these, you know, nerds and, you know, people who can work on the cheap and program and doing all this stuff, honestly, a lot of them are in Eastern Europe, in Russia, in Asia, okay? And these sites, you know, we'll charge a small fee or, you know, some amount, and you PayPal in some money. I mean, it's very, by the way, very low. This is very low tech, and it's not, it's something that every company can use. Now, I'm only bringing this up to say that there are a lot of websites out there, a lot of people who are blogging, you know, that are one guy, you know, and he might be conservative, might be pro-Trump, might be pro-Hillary, whatever the case is, and he wants to, what does he want to do? He wants to get his website out there. And so he's using these commercially available sites online that put likes and comments out there as if he was doing it himself. But he can't put out 1,000 likes an hour. He just doesn't have time to do that, or 1,000 comments. So he has a site do that for him so that his content gets recognized. All right? That's what it is. Now, blaming Russia for it, I think, is a little bit. Well, they're saying that a lot of the, yeah. So the argument is that a lot of the IP addresses are actually directing back to Russia. And I don't know if that's necessarily the biggest issue, because you have, yeah, you've got, I'm guessing that more that would happen here is you've got a lot of bloggers out there who legitimately want to get traction, who are opinionated, who fired up about the election, and who are using these third-party websites to promote their work. And of course, Russia might be involved. I haven't put anything past the Russians. I don't trust them at one bit. But I don't know if they tipped the election. But here's what's dangerous about it. And this is, you know, this is where you start to see a problem. And if I go, you know, here to the kind of middle and the meat of the article, there's a guy who's the executive director of PropOrNot, and it sounds like it's kind of a left-wing group. At any rate, he says that, look, I mean, researchers are expressing concern, you know, that the U.S. government has few tools for detecting or combating foreign propaganda. And he expressed hope that their research detailing the power of Russian propaganda would spur official action. You know what that sounds like? Censorship. Exactly. Censorship. So they're drumming up, and it's gonna continue. They're drumming up this is fake news. They're drumming up this fake story in hopes that, you know, that all the people who are in government are gonna go, look, hey, let's do something. Let's pass some laws. Let's limit our free speech. And it's already happening other places, and I'll tell you about it when we come back. All right, stay tuned. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Can you imagine if you went to the Bill Clinton Presidential Library wearing a Trump shirt? Can you imagine what would happen to you? You'd be eaten alive. No joke. And welcome back. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC, coming to you live from Barbados, southern part of the Caribbean, late at night here, 11 p.m., 11:30 now. It's late at night, but always a joy to be here. And so Black Friday's already done for me, but I guess you guys back home still might be shopping. So if I'm reaching you and you're on your way to get that last bargain, Godspeed, good luck, and stay safe out there. Hey, so not to belabor this point on fake news, but can I? Wait, what the hell is CNN? I mean, we have spent the last year here documenting every absurd lie that CNN has put out. And somehow we're to believe that CNN is a legitimate news source? And here's another thing. I mean, well, of course, this is just what it is. When they say fake news, what they're really talking about, make no mistake, I'll define it for them, because if the Washington Post and CNN and New York Times don't want to define it, I'll define it. Fake news is news we don't like. That's what it is. It's news we don't like. And we being, in this case, the elites, the people in power who now are out of power, out in the cold, and going, how the hell did this happen? Oh, I know. It was Russia. It was some botnets. It was that 300-pound hacker that, or how heavy did Trump say he was? Anyway, I mean, it's some fat guy sitting at home, you know, typing away on his keyboard. That's what it is. Because, you know, public opinion could not have abandoned us this way. There's no way we could have lost the Rust Belt. The arrogance of these people is astounding. And let me tell you, as conservatives, we have to rejoice. If you're on the right side of this argument, you've got to be happy that the opposition right now is so dazed and confused that they haven't pulled their heads out of their rears to understand why it is that they've lost. They haven't. There's no such thing as unbiased news. I'm going to be just, everyone's got a bias. You give me an example of an unbiased site. Oh, no. I just, so no, I look, no. Fox News is biased. Breitbart's biased. Drudge has a bias. And Drudge is being an aggregator, right? So he's promoting certain news stories that he's biased in. And obviously CNN and NBC, ABC, CBS, everyone has their bias. What you have to do is be a reasonably smart and discerning person when you listen to the news. And yeah, of course, and that's not always a given. We understand that. But what now the powers that be are doing is they're starting to raise the alarm that perhaps they can't stay in power without, well, with this sort of public opinion swirling uncontrollably. Do you know who Angela Merkel is? I'm mispronouncing it because she's the German chancellor. So her name is Angela Merkel. I think she's going for her fourth term as chancellor of Germany. And she is the embodiment of the establishment in some respects, and I don't mean to be sexist, she's the last man standing. Okay? And, you know, you'll remember there's some great pictures that came out of her and Obama dining together. They had a candlelight dinner in her private offices in Berlin. You know, these are globalists. She's a big advocate for more immigration. She wants lots of immigrants in Germany. She wants a strong European government. And what is she saying? You know, in order to reach people, to inspire people, this is her thought on fake news, quote unquote. We need to deal with this phenomenon and, where necessary, regulate it. Make no mistake about it. This whole, when you hear fake news, immediately raise your antenna and know that this is the establishment going, the only way we can win is if we regulate speech. We need censorship to survive. And if that isn't a commentary on the pathetic state of where the left is in America, then you're listening to the, you tell me. It's unbelievable. All right, back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. And my time was running wild, a million dead end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turn myself to face me.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Sam Rogowski here. So this is, by the way, not fake news. Fox News. Well, some would argue it's fake news. You know, if you talk to the Washington Post, they probably have Fox News as fake news. But Fox News is reporting that Domino's has an interesting new form of delivery. It's not drones. It's not, self-driving cars or trucks. Turns out that in northern Japan, where it gets very cold and icy, a lot of snow, they are using reindeer. Yes, that's exactly right. They're training. They've got some special animal trainers that are coming out there, and they're doing initial delivery tests right now to determine whether or not this is going to be a viable way for them to deliver pizza. Apparently, some people in little houses, you know, up a hill, and it's icy, no way to drive up there or ride a bike or anything like that. So quickest way, on the back of a reindeer. And sure enough, there's photos here of a reindeer trudging up a hill, carrying a giant box on his back with the Domino's logo, which presumably is packed with delicious pizza. Well, at any rate, imagine this. You know, you're in Japan, you're on vacation, maybe visiting a relative, and crossing the road, and charging down the hill toward you is an errant reindeer. It could happen. And I'm looking at these horns, and man, a collision would hurt. I'll tell you what you need to do if that happens. That's right. You need to call Sweet James. Because at that point, you don't want to talk to Domino's. You don't want... Yeah, they're going to offer you free pizza. They're going to give you coupons. They're going to try to, you know, make the reindeer apologize. You don't want to get into any of that. You want Domino's. You don't want to talk to them. You want your lawyer to talk to them. And make sure that your lawyer is James. He's the only guy to talk to. Reputable, honest, and just a good guy. Sweet James Bergner, the only lawyer we trust here on the program. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rejofsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC, and we're talking about this fake news thing. I'm particularly humored by the fact that the Washington Post doesn't even make an attempt to come up with news examples of this fake news that is demonstrably false. And we were just talking about this in the break. If we here at Sam Nation were to write this very same article, we would go to great lengths to find examples of fake news that is totally fake. It's totally fake. But the reality is that it's really the best examples they have are stories that are actually real, but have been pushed and promoted in non-traditional ways using these bots and these different, you know, aggregator sites and that type of thing. But I'm gonna ask you a story. Look, you know when you play like rumor in school or whatever that was, the game where you start a rumor, you go around you say something in somebody's ear, you go around the thing and it changes whatever, you know, and by the time it gets to the end of the line, it's almost unrecognizable. Well, I'm going to ask you something. If it starts with one person, goes through, I don't know, 10 or 12 different aggregators and it gets repeated out by a bunch of bots, but it's essentially the same story as when it started, does that make it fake? I mean, in my opinion, I'm just saying, you know, I read traditional media, I watch CNN, and I can tell you they say things that are demonstrably false all the time. All the time. And is it just because they've got a channel on TV or because they print a paper newspaper that makes them more legit? And I'll tell you this. The reason that the Washington Post and CNN and Fox News even are pushing this narrative and are talking about this is because it ultimately helps them. The politicians, they want to push this because they want censorship. They want to be able to control the media and what's said about them. The less we're able to say freely online, the better for the establishment politicians. Trust me. But now, the media is a complicit partner in it too, because guess what they want? They don't want us talking online and going around them. They want to have all the power. And they're losing ratings. I mean, this election, this has been crazy. I mean, how many establishment journalists got this thing completely wrong. And now people don't trust them, and people aren't tuning in, and that's actual dollars that they're losing. And that's a problem. So I'm telling you, this is a real thing, and it's fascinating to watch it, and it's fascinating to just watch the left be totally lost on this point. All right, back after this short break, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. My parents literally called me Sam for Uncle Sam because of their love for this country. So let me tell you, when I talk about immigration, when I talk about these issues, I'm coming from a place of love. All right, welcome back. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC, coming to you live from Barbados, last day here. And anyway, late at night, almost midnight, we're 4 hours ahead. So there it is. Well, I wonder, by the way, if on this fake news thing, if it would be the same boo-hoo-hoo if Clinton had won. Well, yeah, of course not. It wouldn't be. And one of the reasons is because Hillary did all this stuff. She did the same thing. She just didn't do it as well as the people on the right did. And so now they're blaming Russia. Well, it's Russia's fault, you know, just like the whole DNC hack. You know, I can't help it that John Podesta had password 123. I bet you that was nobody's ever going to talk about that, right? How probably stupid his password was. Well, anyway. Hillary Clinton did the same exact thing, and let's flash back April of this year. Hillary, a super PAC that was supporting Hillary Clinton, started something called Correct the Record, And it was a project that hired a bunch of people, trolls, right, and bots to counter negative things being said about Hillary on the internet. And people, you know, longtime Reddit users would explain how this one guy said that my inbox turned to cancer because suddenly he just got attacked and had the same message reposted over and over and over again. Okay. And they would, you know, they would attack on Twitter and Facebook, Reddit and Instagram. And here's my thought on this. This is legit. The social media online, it's the new frontier. If you're the Washington Post, if you're the New York Times and you publish a paper, you are a dinosaur and you can't blame your inefficiency on Russia and Hillary. You ran a terrible campaign. And you can't blame Russia for it. Russia cannot be the boogeyman for everything that's wrong. So, most alarmingly, we have to hold on to our free speech, because I'll tell you, Angela Merkel says, and this is an article that supports kind of her position talking about this, says, you know, hey, these bloggers without any political affiliation realize they can earn money by spreading sensational and false stories. Well, the lawyer in me always says and looks at a sentence. I always look at a sentence and see the and. And what I see is sensational and false stories. Well, you know what? I thought we were talking about false stories and fake news. But you know what? A lot of sensational news is real, it's true, and it deserves to be reported. And you can't hide from it. So I'm going to tell you right now, Trump is president. He may want to do the same thing. He may want to limit the freedom of the media. He's going to have stories said about him that he doesn't like. And we're going to be here to stop him. Because, you know, the truth be told, people who are in power oftentimes don't want any negative reporting. And when they've got the levers of government behind them and they're able to use them, bad things can happen. And so we'll be watching this thing in Germany very closely, because those things do trickle down to the U.S. All right. I'll be back in the studio on Monday night. Look forward to talking to you then. And have a wonderful weekend and enjoy the rest of your Black Friday. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.